Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street kicks off a new trading month after May saw the S&P 500 teeter on a bear market.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she got it wrong last year on inflation.
The Fed starts to shrink its $8.9 trillion balance sheet.
And the U.S. ramps up military support to Ukraine.
New York Governor Hochul introduces new gun reform measures, plus the first funerals have begun for the victims of the Texas school shooting. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Blowout wins at home for the Mets and Yankees. Rangers and Lightning play game one at the Garden tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing Insight Conference, back in person June 15th through the 17th in Grapevine, Texas, a must-attend event for financial advisors. Register today at insight.bnymellon.com.
And U.S. futures are mixed this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 124. NASDAQ futures are down 13. And the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.86%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.57%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, U.S. stocks begin June after a month where the S&P 500 was basically unchanged. But that does not explain the extreme volatility. During the month of May, the benchmark index surged more than 8% after falling within points of a 20% drop from a record, signifying a bear market. Peter Oppenheimer is chief global equity strategist at Goldman Sachs.
If you look at the history for markets, at least, when you get peak inflation, you do tend to get a recovery in risk assets. And that's generally because it starts to alleviate pressures on interest rates. By that stage, you've usually had markets already pricing in an economic downturn. So at the point where people think that things are bad but getting less bad, you tend to get a recovery.
Goldman Sachs chief global equity strategist Peter Oppenheimer still says he expects markets to be very volatile over the next few months.
Well, Nathan, helping to lift sentiment this morning is corporate earnings. Shares of Salesforce up 8% in early trading. The company raising its annual profit forecast. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
It signals demand for business software is holding up in the face of macroeconomic instability. Salesforce said fiscal year earnings, excluding some items, will be as much as $4.76. Analysts on average estimated annual profit of $4.68. Salesforce is the leader in cloud-based customer management software. Now, during the pandemic, the company expanded its products for business productivity with the purchase of the messaging platform Slack at a price of $27.7 billion. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. Crude oil is also on the rise this morning, trading at $116.75 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. This comes ahead of an OPEC Plus routine meeting tomorrow to discuss supply policy. Ed Morse, Citigroup's global head of commodity research, says triple digit oil should be a lot lower.
You have to just look at the cost structure of the industry. You have to look at where new production is coming and where would be coming even if we didn't have $123 Brent. And I'd say it's more in the $70 range than it is in the $120 range.
Citigroup's Ed Morse says demand for oil and refined products is falling as the economy starts bracing for a recession.
Well, Nathan, inflation is still a major focus for markets and the top political challenge for the White House. Now, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is admitting she got it wrong last year when she said inflation would only be temporary.
There have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand. But we recognize that now.
In an interview with CNN, Secretary Yellen said she's encouraged that core prices have started to come down, but she says she cannot rule out future shocks.
Well, Secretary Yellen was at the White House yesterday, Karen, for a rare meeting between President Biden and Fed Chair Jay Powell. The president used it to declare that he respects central bank independence while shifting responsibility for taming decades-high inflation.
I'm not going to interfere with their critically important work. The Fed has dual responsibilities. One, full employment. Two, stable prices.
Now, this was President Biden's third in-person session with Powell since taking office.
Well, the Fed will also be in focus today, Nathan. It's set to start shrinking its $8.9 trillion balance sheet. The central bank also releases the Beige Book, and we get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The question is, what will investors learn from the Beige Book that they don't already know? Are there hints in the anecdotal report suggesting some goods or services are seeing prices level off or decline? Will there be any indications the labor market is loosening? Overall, the Beige Book is likely to assess the economy continues to expand at a moderate pace. That's the phrase the Fed usually uses. Consumers are still spending and manufacturers are trying to keep up. The survey is one input into Fed policy decisions, but the central bank has already suggested it's made up its mind to raise rates at the next two meetings. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. Now the latest developments on the war. President Biden says he will give Ukraine advanced rocket systems and other weaponry to help in the battle with Russia. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The president made the announcement in a New York Times article published last night. A senior U.S. official tells Bloomberg News the package includes missiles that will allow Ukraine to strike locations as far as 80 kilometers away. And while world leaders have publicly called for such a move, one concern is whether Ukraine would use them to strike targets inside Russia. That would risk expanding the war and pulling in NATO countries. The White House plans to formally announce the new $700 million security assistance package today. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. President Biden will also be addressing the baby formula shortage in the country. The White House says the president will meet virtually with infant formula manufacturers this afternoon.
Finally, Karen, the world's richest man appears to have had it with this whole working from home business. Tesla CEO Elon Musk weighed in on the debate on Twitter by elaborating on an email he apparently sent to the electric car maker's executive staff. Under the subject line, "Remote work is no longer acceptable," Musk wrote that anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum of 40 hours per week or depart Tesla. Right now, S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures up 116. NASDAQ futures are lower by 19 points. The 10-year Treasury yield right now, 2.86%. Local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 60 degrees in Central Park, dealing with an accident on the westbound Belt Parkway at Cross Bay Boulevard. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul introduced a new package of gun reform bills after mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde. It is a total of 10 bills that would tighten New York's gun laws and close loopholes. Hochul says New York already has some of the toughest gun laws in the country, but clearly we need to make them even stronger. Among the proposed legislation is increasing the minimum age requirement to buy a semi-automatic rifle from 18 to 21. The victims of last week's mass shooting in a Texas grade school are being laid to rest in Uvalde. The first funerals were held yesterday. A gunman killed 19 children and two teachers. One of those teachers was Eva Morales. Her sister, Maggie Morales Thomas, says she told Governor Abbott that if he wants to help, he could change the state's gun laws.
There's no reason why this type of weapon should be among us people here. These things belong in the war. There's no war in the classroom. There's no war out here in Uvalde.
Maggie Morales Thomas says she does not want anyone to forget her sister's name. A woman wounded in an April New York City subway shooting has filed a lawsuit against gun manufacturer Glock. In her lawsuit, Eileen Stewart said Glock endangered the public health and safety with the marketing, distribution, and sales of its guns. 10 people were shot and wounded as a man fired dozens of bullets in a subway train full of morning commuters. New York is suspending its gas tax for the rest of the year. It would save 16 cents per gallon, joining Connecticut in suspending its gas tax. The Energy Department says the nationwide record average for a gallon of gas rose 3 cents in the past week to $4.62. Governor Hochul announces new LIRR terminal in Midtown Manhattan. It will be named Grand Central Madison.
You're talking about a place as iconic as Grand Central. You can't change that. I mean, this conjures up the images of glory in a time, early 1900s, 1911, 1912, when the world was stunned by the majesty of this building itself.
Governor Hochul says it will be completed by the end of this year. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. We're coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Mets and Yankees were both at home. They won by a combined score of 19-1. It was 10-0 for the Mets over Washington. They had 17 hits. Mark Canha had 4. Jeff McNeil 3. Home runs for Starling Marte and Eduardo Escobar. And the Mets have won 5 in a row, scoring 44 runs in those 5 games, 23 runs in the 2 games so far with the Nationals with a day game today at Citi Field. The stadium, Yanks over the Angels, 9-1. 4-run first inning, included 2-run homer by the newest Yank, Matt Carpenter. Jose Trevino later with a 2-run shot. Plenty of run support for Jordan Montgomery, who normally does not receive it. He got his first win of the year. Wild start to the Stanley Cup West Finals. Avs and Oilers in Denver. They combined for 5 goals in the first period, 6 more in the second. The Avs led 7-3. It was cut to 7-6. Colorado held on and won 8-6. Don't expect a game like that tonight at the Garden as the Rangers and Lightning begin the East Finals. Two terrific goalies, the Rangers' Igor Shesterkin, Tampa Bay's Andre Vasilevsky, the Ranger defenseman Adam Fox.
Two of the top goalies, obviously, Vasilevsky has his track record speak for itself, but I think Shesky's kind of does too. What he's done this year has been insanely impressive, so definitely two good goalies. Coming together.
The Lightning are the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. They just won their 10th straight series. It was a sweep of Florida, who was the top seed in the East. 59th match between Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, who leads 30-29, but Nadal won 4 sets. He's into the semifinals of the French Open. He's won the tournament 13 times. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures up a point and a half right now. Dow futures up 104 points. NASDAQ futures down 28 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 430 seconds. The yield, 2.85%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and U.S. stock index futures are struggling for direction today amid a debate over the scale of central bank monetary policy tightening needed to fight inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures up 98 and NASDAQ futures are down 26. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury is down 5/30 seconds, yield 2.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.57%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4%, up $1.63 at $116.30 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $16.80 at $1831.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0722 against the dollar, British pound 1.26, and the yen at 129.38. And Bitcoin this morning lower, down 0.6% at $31,590. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden said he'll give Ukraine advanced rocket systems and other U.S. weaponry to better hit targets in its war with Russia. The White House plans to announce the new $700 million security assistance package today. The first funerals for victims of last week's mass shooting at Robb Elementary School began yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets shut out the Nationals 10-0. The Red Sox, Orioles, and A's lost. The Giants won. In the NHL Eastern Conference Finals tonight, Game 1 as the Rangers host the Lightning. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
This is The Big Take, the best of Bloomberg's in-depth original reporting from around the globe.
This is a really fast-moving story.
It's caused a lot of outrage among investors.
This is so fascinating.
The market shut down in a way it's never done before.
That's going to have consequences for years to come.
The Big Take on Bloomberg Radio.
It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and our big take this morning is on the war in Ukraine and how the surge in commodity prices sparked by Russia's invasion is helping to fuel the Kremlin's war machine, despite massive sanctions from the U.S. and its allies. Bloomberg News oil strategist Julian Lee joins us now with more on this Bloomberg Big Take story. Julian, good morning. You know, the sanctions were supposed to starve Russian military financing, but it's almost like the war has created a feedback loop. Is that the right way to look at it when it comes to the impact of oil price surges?
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. Certainly, we've seen some big rises in headline prices, not just for oil, but for other commodities as well. And there's a temptation to see that feeding through to Russia and Russia's earnings. And undoubtedly, they have benefited to some degree from that. But I think it's important also to look at the sort of discounts that Russia is having to offer, particularly for its oil exports, to get a real sense that things are starting to happen. And the oil embargo that the European Union has now agreed, that really hasn't come into effect yet. So everything that we've seen to date has been very much on a voluntary basis by buyers. And what we have seen is that in the last month or so, the sort of discounts that Russia has had to offer for its crude have been in excess of $30 a barrel. So that means that while we're seeing Brent and West Texas Intermediate at sort of $115, $120 a barrel, Russian crude is still selling below 100 and in some cases below 90 as well. So still a high price. But those self-sanctions are having an effect, and the mandatory sanctions that are coming will have an additional effect.
And now the Russia has been able to sell its crude at a discount. It's been sort of shifting its supply chain as well, hasn't it, to try to find those buyers. Is there anything that the U.S. and its allies can do to sort of tackle that, the purchasing of Russian crude by other nations?
Well, there are certainly things that could be done. I mean, there is quite clearly precedent for secondary sanctions against buyers of Russian oil. You only have to look at the sanctions that were imposed both by the Obama administration and by the Trump administration subsequently that targeted sort of other buyers of, in that case, Iranian crude. And those were both successful in their own right in reducing sales of Iran's crude around the world. And it's possible that something like that could be done with Russian crude. I think the problem is that we are in a very different market to the one that we were in when sanctions were imposed on Iran. The underlying supply-demand balance is much tighter. That's why we're seeing the big run-up in prices. And in some senses, what I think the Western powers want to do is not necessarily to choke off all of Russia's oil exports. They want to make it more difficult. They want to make it more expensive for Russia to export its oil. They certainly want to reduce the volumes, but I doubt that anyone who's looking at the state of the oil market would really want to see no oil coming out of Russia. I know that it's a highly desirable outcome for Ukraine and for anyone who looks at it purely from the lens of Russian income and the ability to fund the war in Ukraine. But the cost of a total halt to Russian oil exports, I think, would be huge.
Much more on this in our Big Take story. Russia's $285 billion oil and gas bonanza is funding Putin's war. Bloomberg News oil strategist Julian Lee, thanks for being with us to get a glimpse at what's in this Big Take story. You can read much more on Big Take, Bloomberg.com/Big Take or NIBigTakeGo. on the Bloomberg Terminal. And looking at oil prices right now, NYMEX crude is higher on this session by 1.4%, up $1.59 at $116.26 a barrel. Brent is higher by 1.4% at $117.27. Futures little changed at the moment. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, chance for showers and storms this afternoon with highs in the low 70s. More showers likely tomorrow afternoon as well with highs in the low 80s. Clearing upper 70s for Friday. Right now, 60 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, U.S. stocks begin June, coming off a volatile month that left the S&P 500 basically unchanged. In May, the benchmark index surged more than 8% after falling within points of a 20% drop from a record. John Stoltzfus, chief investment strategist with Oppenheimer Asset Management, says he could see the index begin to rise again.
The last time we saw a market that was in the process of coming out of a crisis, which was 2009, the S&P declined 25% from January to March of 2009. It then rallied 64% to the end of the year.
Oppenheimer Asset Management chief investment strategist John Stoltzfus says it's possible the S&P makes a similar climb, but admits he may have to adjust his projections.
Well, inflation's still a major focus for markets, Karen, and a top political challenge for the White House. Now, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's admitting she got it wrong last year when she said inflation would be temporary.
There have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't at the time didn't fully understand.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen tells CNN she's encouraged prices are coming down but can't rule out future shocks.
Well, Nathan, Secretary Yellen was at the White House yesterday for a meeting between President Biden and Fed Chair Jay Powell. Gene Sperling, senior advisor to the president, says the president used the meeting to make clear he respects the Fed's independence as it looks to cool inflation.
We understand that our Federal Reserve is independent. It has, sure, while they have a dual mandate, at times where inflation becomes the highest concern, that they're going to take steps to dampen that inflation. And that's going to be raising interest rates. And the president is going to respect that independence.
Senior advisor to President Biden, Gene Sperling, speaking with Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On, airing weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, the Fed will be in focus again today, Karen, as it's set to start shrinking its $8.9 trillion balance sheet. It also releases its beige book today.
And Nathan, crude oil also on the rise this morning. It is currently trading at $116.20 a barrel. That's up 1.3%. And this comes before an OPEC Plus routine meeting tomorrow to discuss its supply policy. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
And it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 60 degrees in Central Park, dealing with an accident on the westbound LIE, lower level by the BQE. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul introduced a new package of gun reform bills after mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde. It is a total of 10 bills that would tighten New York's gun laws and close loopholes. Among the proposed legislation is increasing the minimum age requirement to buy a semi-automatic rifle from 18 to 21. The first funerals for victims of last week's mass shooting at Robb Elementary School began yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. Texas State Democratic Senator Roland Gutierrez, who represents Uvalde, says he is calling on Governor Greg Abbott to call a special session of the legislature to address the shooting.
We need a special session to fix gun laws, but we also need a special session for this legislature to go and investigate what went wrong here.
State Senator Gutierrez told ABC he is hearing voters demand for reform to gun laws. The Supreme Court has put on hold a Texas law that would stop social media platforms from deleting posts and accounts. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The hold will allow a constitutional challenge to go forward in a lower court. The tech groups Meta, Twitter, and Google all argue the law would stop them from barring hate speech, including neo-Nazi and Ku Klux Klan or Russian propaganda, or just plainly misinformation and untruths. The authors of the legislation say they are just trying to protect free speech. The high court vote was split in this decision and did not explain its decision at all. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sacramento County, California has found a third probable case of monkeypox. Even though health officials have said monkeypox is not easily spread, both had contact with the first patient who had traveled to Europe and came back with it. 15 monkeypox cases have now been confirmed in the U.S., with more being suspected. It is a new name for a new LIRR terminal. Governor Kathy Hochul says it will be called Grand Central Madison.
For 24 years now, we've been hearing about this project, and everyone always just thought, so it'll get done someday in the future, the future, the future. The future is 2022.
Governor Hochul says the East Side Access Terminal aims to bring 60% more traffic into Manhattan from Long Island at peak times. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. June begins with the Yankees' best record in baseball. The Mets, owners of the biggest lead. Yanks improved to 34-15. Beat the Angels at the stadium 9-1. They finally scored runs for Jordan Montgomery. Every Yank had a hit except Aaron Judge. Even Joey Gallo had two hits. Mets also at home beat Washington 10-0. They're 34-17. They've got a 10.5 game lead in the NLE. 17 Met hits in their fifth in a row. The Mets have sent the struggling Dom Smith down to AAA Syracuse. He was batting just 186. Hit 316 2 years ago. Stanley Cup playoffs, game one in the West, and it wasn't decided until the 14th goal of the night.
Landeskog tried to get it out. He does! To center ice through the legs of Draisaitl. Intercepted by Landeskog. Feed from Barry. Landeskog open net. You betcha! Oh, captain, my captain! Makes it eight! For the Avalanche with 21.4 seconds to go in the third, and this place has erupted.
ACE in Denver, Colorado beat Edmonton 8-6. Rangers and Lightning tonight at the Garden to start the East Finals. Tampa Bay, winners of 10 consecutive playoff series, just swept top seed Florida, two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. The last NHL three-peat was the Islanders in the early 1980s. The Rangers swept the regular season series with Tampa. 13-time French Open champ Rafael Nadal into the semifinals. In Paris, he beat Novak Djokovic in four sets. The match went over 4 hours, ended past 1 a.m. Battle of Americans, Coco Gauff beat Sloane Stephens, the 18-year-old Gauff, into her first Grand Slam semi. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's get more now on the path ahead for the Fed as the central bank begins this month by beginning to unwind its $8.9 trillion balance sheet. Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee is with us live. Mike, good morning. There's been so much focus, of course, for investors over the last several months about the path for interest rates. Now this second tool is about to be deployed by the central bank. What's the potential impact here?
That's a very good question that I don't have an answer to, but neither do Fed officials. Like Governor Chris Waller the other day said the potential range of impacts is very wide because this is only the second time this has happened, and we're talking about such huge sums of money over a period of time that the Fed doesn't really know. Their best guess is maybe a quarter percentage point increase in rates spread out over a year. The worst case scenario is maybe we get 150 basis points of movement. So they're going to be watching it closely to see what happens. But it's going to be a while till we see any kind of reaction because they're only starting with $30 billion in treasuries and $17.5 in mortgage bonds a month for 3 months until it starts to really ramp up. So it'll be a while till we see any kind of impact. There won't be a lot of sales yet. or roll-off yet. No sales. Roll-off.
Now, as you mentioned, this is only the second time that we've seen a balance sheet unwind. So we have, I guess, a little bit of precedent here after the 2008 crisis. What kind of insight is the Fed looking at, given how they unwound the balance sheet the first time around?
The biggest problem they ran into is when reserves got low enough, there was a liquidity squeeze, and that caused market eruptions at the short end. And the Fed had to come in and say, we're going to stop raising interest rates, and that sort of turned things around. Now they've put in place the reverse repo facility where if you're a dealer and you have securities, you can go to the Fed and get cash if you need it, if there isn't a market for your securities. So they're at this point confident that they've got that problem solved. Beyond that, it becomes sort of a question of how fast do interest rates react at what tenors, and then a question of just the overall balance sheet and how small or large does it need to be, which they say they can't know until they get there.
And we're going to have a few months to take a look at what the impact is going to be as this balance sheet unwind gets underway. Starting today, Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee, thanks for being with us this morning. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are sort of wait-and-see mode right now with S&P futures down a point, Dow futures up 79, NASDAQ futures are lower by almost 24 points now. The 10-year Treasury is down 3/32. The yield, 2.85%. Yield on the two-year right now, 2.57%. NYMEX crude is higher by 1.2%, a gain of $1.35 for $116.03 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, more clouds and sun. Chance for afternoon showers and storms today with highs in the low 70s. More showers possible tomorrow afternoon, low 80s. Clearing upper 70s for Friday. Right now, 60 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures little change this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures trading mixed right now. At Dow futures higher by 95 points. S&Ps are up a point. NASDAQ futures are lower by 20. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.86%. Gold is down 7. Oil is climbing. And Bitcoin trading lower by 0.6%. Shanghai was a little changed overnight. While European markets are quiet this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, ISM manufacturing PMI. At 10 o'clock, construction spending. And at 2 o'clock, the Fed releases its beige book. After the bell last night, Salesforce raised its guidance. Shares are up 9% in the pre-market. In other news, AmerisourceBergen is buying back $1 billion in stock. And Capri Holdings EPS beat estimates. Wrapping things up, Sealed Air was cut to underweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Biden is promising to meet with members of Congress on gun reform. Yesterday, the president meeting with New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern praised her in passing a ban on military-style semi-automatic weapons after a white supremacist killed 51 Muslim worshippers in 2019. The Biden administration is sending an additional $700 million worth of weapons and defense systems to support the Ukrainian military. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets shut out the Nationals. The Red Sox, Orioles, and A's lost. The Giants won in the NHL Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Game one as the Rangers host the Lightning. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Alexis Leondis, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Investors in Bitcoin and other digital assets have been pummeled recently by the longest losing streak since 2011. If that's you, you might be glad to hear that there are ways to ease some of the sting of those losses. Act promptly, and you can cut your tax bill for next April and beyond. That's because the IRS allows taxpayers to use losses in stocks and other investments, including crypto, to offset gains. If your losses exceed your total gains for the year, you can deduct up to $3,000 against your taxable income. Losses beyond $3,000 can be carried forward every year until death to offset gains in future years. What's more, crypto investors get a special deal. Unlike stock investors, they don't have to wait 30 days before selling and rebuying the same coin again. I'm Alexis Leondis. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, one of the nation's leading polytechnic universities and a top military-friendly school. Learn more at njit.edu/veterans. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China is planning for years of COVID is zero, with testing sites at almost every corner. Tens of thousands of lab testing booths are being set up across the country's largest and most economically vital cities. The goal is for residents to always be just a 15-minute walk away from a swabbing point. And the UK consumers are being urged to brace for inflation getting worse before it gets better. The British Retail Consortium said that fresh food prices are now rising at their fastest pace in a decade. It says fresh food rose 4.5% in the year that ended in May. And the world's richest man appears to have had it with this whole working from home business. Tesla CEO Elon Musk weighed in on the debate on Twitter by elaborating on an email he apparently sent to the electric car maker's executive staff. Under the subject line, remote work is no longer acceptable, Musk wrote that anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum of 40 hours per week or depart Tesla. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden promising advanced weapon systems to Ukraine, Treasury Secretary Yellen saying she got it wrong on inflation last year, and the Biden administration devoting more than $2 billion to bolster food supply chains. Let's get more on all these stories now. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us now. Emily, good morning. So we got this op-ed from the president last night promising even more military support to Ukraine. Give us some more details here.
Yeah, so what is really unique about this, Nathan, is that Biden's talking about sort of sending these weapon systems to Ukraine that are going to be able to shoot longer missiles, further away targets. Now, initially, there was some concern about this because the thought was, well, what if Ukraine begins to target things actually within Russia and winds up expanding this war? But we are really at a point right now where if you look at the ground game, if you look at what's happening in the Donbas region in the east, this war has really shifted in nature. And Biden has said that he is going to try, he will be sending, rather, weapons that are going to be able to hit targets at further distances. The White House plans to announce a $700 million security assistance package to Ukraine today. That, of course, is coming on top of billions more that the U.S. has sent to Ukraine. And at this point, there still seems to be still a pretty high bipartisan appetite. It wasn't as high as it was a couple months ago, as far as sending funding to Ukraine. But there is still a very concentrated effort in D.C. To make sure that the Ukraine gets whatever assistance it needs from the U.S.
Yeah, as we await this announcement, Emily, what does this say about how the Biden administration sees this war progressing, given that they are promising these sort of mid-range missile systems?
Well, we know that this war, it is going to be lasting a while. Everyone seems to kind of be hunkering down and settling in for that. I mean, I think you saw that when you saw Congress pass a funding package that had such a high price tag on it. You know, even though Biden's been giving out this funding in increments, Congress has allocated, you know, tens of billions, expecting that this war is going to go on for a while and that the White House is going to need that funding. Biden did make it clear in his op-ed, you know, the U.S. is not seeking a war between NATO and Russia. You know, as much as he disagrees with Putin, they really do not want to escalate it. They do want to find a diplomatic solution, but they also want to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs to really fight back against the Russian invasion.
And you have to think, Emily, that the Biden administration is hunkering down for an even longer war against inflation, given the comments we heard yesterday from Secretary Yellen saying she was basically wrong about inflation being sort of temporary.
Yes. Yellen just came out, admitted on CNN yesterday that she had been wrong when she predicted last year that higher inflation wouldn't be a long-term problem. She said that, you know, there were sort of several unanticipated things that happened that she couldn't have predicted and that she didn't fully sort of take into account all of the various circumstances. And at this point, what she said that where we're at now is in this period of transition that, you know, we're not expecting to see these huge job gains, monthly job gains going forward. But they're trying to look at stable growth and really bringing inflation down. She said that she felt the Fed was doing what it needed to do at this point to address high inflation. But at this point, I mean, inflation is still expected to be high throughout at least the summer. If not to the end of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting as well to hear those comments from President Biden yesterday when he met with Fed Chair Jay Powell, sort of saying that he wants to give the Fed the space it needs to tackle inflation. You have to wonder, though, whether there's a political impact for the president when he sort of shifts responsibility for tackling sky-high prices over to the central bank as opposed to the fiscal side.
Well, I mean, Nathan, I don't think most Americans look at the go to the grocery store, look at high prices and say, oh, the Fed. Most of them, they blame Biden. They blame the president. They blame the person who is in charge. And that's just going to be the nature of the political impact here. I mean, what I think what the context to look at what Biden is saying is simply that he's trying to uphold precedents of the independence of the Fed. That was something that we saw his predecessor, Donald Trump, kind of challenge while he was in office as far as trying to give the Fed direction and instruction. Biden's trying to sort of return to the precedent that was set before that, kind of leaving the Fed, having them have their independence and trying to be hands off in that department.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Emily. But what's this announcement we're expecting from the Biden administration on food supply chains?
Yeah, so the Biden administration is going to be announcing $2.1 billion just to help food supply chains. This is expanding small and mid-sized processing plants, helping farmers obtain new infrastructure like cooling facilities and helping farmers shift to organic products. Of course, Nathan, this all comes after the shortage in baby formula. Biden's going to be meeting with a number of infant formula makers today in the White House. Not on the guest list is Abbott Industries, and they're the ones whose factory in Michigan was shuttered over safety concerns earlier this year that led to the current shortage.
Interesting.
So an interesting omission there.
Yeah, certainly. Emily Wilkins of Bloomberg Government will be watching for developments as that meeting gets underway with the baby formula manufacturers. And you can read much more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Get ready to open the trading month. Futures, little changed at the moment. Right now, S&P futures are little changed to the downside. Dow futures up 81 points. NASDAQ futures are lower by 19 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32. Yield 2.85%. Bloomberg Surveillance up next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.